الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. We are now on the verge of the month of Rajab, and where it is, the month of Rajab itself is a Mubarak, blessed month. It is Ashhuri Hurum. It is referred to as the month of Allah. It is referred to as the month of fasting. It is referred to as the month of seeking forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. And one of the names of this is of the month of Rajab is Al-Asr. That means a downpour. That means when we ask for forgiveness, then the downpour of Allah's Rahmat. And as soon as a person turns in repentance to Allah Ta'ala, Allah turns in forgiveness, in mercy and kindness to that person. In fact, it has been mentioned that إِنَّ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ, those who ask for forgiveness, they will نُزِّلَ, they will be regarded as the muttaqeen on the day of Qiyamah. The muttaqeen who never committed sins. And the gunegar, the muznibin, the sinners. But when they become mustaghfirin, they ask for forgiveness, then Allah regards them at the same level as those who did not commit gunas. Allah forgives all their gunas. Allah changes their gunas into good deeds. And Allah adds more good deeds also to them. So this is that great month that we have been blessed with. Together with that, another great feature of this month, that the most famous date for the Mi'raj of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the 27th of the month of Rajab. So the Mi'raj is also a great, great imani booster. We should think carefully about it. It's an open miracle. On one occasion, mention was made in the majlis of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, that there were those people, when they put their one leg in the stirrup of the horse, to climb the horse, to mount the horse, and by the time they put the other leg in the other stirrup, they had completed the whole Quran Sharif. So he said, this is not possible at all, but by miracle, by Allah's fazl, Allah makes it possible. Otherwise, according to our logic and thinking and practicality, it is not possible. It is a miracle. And it shows, all this is to show the Qudrat of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. And here is a very important point also. This question comes to our minds also. People might ask us also. Children might ask us also. That when Allah is the creator of everything, who created Allah Ta'ala? And it comes in the hadith, Shaitan will bring these thoughts to you. That everything Allah has created, so who has created Allah Ta'ala? So Allah Ta'ala is explained so beautifully in Surah Ikhlas. And we should meditate where we read it. We read it because it's a short surah. But we should read it for the value of it. It's one third. You get the sawab of one third of Quran Sharif. And more than that, the meaning of it. That Allah Ta'ala has introduced himself, that who is he? So Allah Ta'ala's full announce and say to the people, who Allah, he is Allah, and he is Ahad. Yeah, ulama have written that Allah could have used the word, and the miracles of the Quran Sharif are unlimited. The great, great, but we don't ponder, we don't think of the greatness of the Quran Sharif. So yeah, Allah could have also said, Qul huwa Allahu wahid, he is one. Outwardly, the meaning is the same, but there is a great, great difference. And absolutely, perfectly, Allah used the word Ahad. For Wahid, after that you have Ithnan, Salasa, 1, 2, 3, the numerals you count. But the word Ahad, it doesn't continue. So Allah is one and it stops there. There is no second Allah, it's only one Allah. So all types of shirk, from a linguistic point of view, language point of view, is also all cancelled out. Wahidatun, wahidun, as God, that's the masculine of it, and the female of it is wahidatun. But the word ahad has got no female counterpart. So Allah has got no partner. Allah hasn't got a wife, hasn't got a partner. So the word ahad was the correct word to be used. Wahidun, it is divided also. You get nisf, you get sulus, you get ruba', you get sumun, you get sudus, you can divide it. But the word ahad is indivisible. So that is also, it shows that it is one Allah, who is not, it can't be divided also. So Allah Ta'ala is one in every way. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. That Allah Ta'ala is samad, independent. Alladhi la yahtaj ila ayyi ahad. He is not in need of anyone and anything. Wa yahtaju ilayhi kullu wahid. Kullu ahad. And everyone is dependent on Allah Ta'ala. In there also, Allah has given the answer that Allah is not creator. A person, a child that is born, that is muhtaj. That is not samad, the child. Because the child is in need of the parents. The child is in need of food. The child is in need of care. Is in need of love. Of many things the child is in need. And Allah is not in need of anything. So there is only one being that who is like that, who is not in need of anything. And on the same time again, that everyone is dependent on Allah Ta'ala. There isn't a single creation of Allah for a single moment that is not dependent on Allah Ta'ala. Continuously, every moment, a person is dependent on Allah Ta'ala. The difference is, fortunate are those people who realize it, we are dependent on Allah. And they behave like a person who is dependent. A person who thinks I'm independent, I don't need my parents, I don't need my boss, his attitude is different. And a person who thinks I need my ustad, I need my shaykh, I need my parents, that person's attitude is different. So Allah is the only being in the world that is independent. Otherwise, everyone else is dependent. And we are all, indirectly, we might be dependent on our parents, on our asatiza, etc. But actually, literally, we are all only dependent on Allah Ta'ala. It's only Allah's help, which comes in the form of our parents, in the form of our asatiza, mashayikh, etc. But Allah is the sole doer. So Allah Ta'ala is completely independent. Allahu Samad is independent. Then lam yalid, that's clearly stated that Allah Ta'ala does not give birth to anyone, walam yulad, and neither was Allah given birth to anyone. So that proves that there is no creator of Allah. That Allah Ta'ala was not created. We know everything. This thing here was made. Creating, the quality of creation is also exclusive for Allah Ta'ala. Man cannot create. Man manufactures, man assembles, man makes things, manufactures things, but man cannot create. Creation is to create something from nothing. And whatever we want to make, we need something. You want to prepare a pot of biryani, you need so many ingredients, then you can prepare your. You want to sew a kurta, you need so many things. The materials, scissors, measuring tape, the sewing machine. How many things you need, then you can. But so therefore, creation, and creation is that where Allah Ta'ala just says, kun, be. And before the kaf touches the noon, that thing already comes into existence. Without any raw materials, without any drawing board, drawing of plans, architects' plans, engineers' plans, all the other things, none of that is required. That is, so there is no one like Allah. And He is the one and only. And as far as what we say, that things the people have made this. So first of all, we cannot use the word creation for people. That is exclusive for Allah. Allah is the only one who creates. Nobody else can create. But people who make, We say this is the son of so and so, he's the son of so and so, he's the son of so and so. So everyone has got somebody from where he has come. And this carries on right till Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's time. So mankind, we have a cow, a calf. A calf is born from the mother cow. And that mother cow was also a calf that was born from its mother cow. So this carries on. Everything in the world carries on like this. You have a building. It is built by somebody, the contractor. And he built it with all the building material. And that is also from all different sources. But the creator is he who doesn't need any lineage also. He is one. So Allah Ta'ala is the only being. So Allah, if we think about it, Allah, it's impossible for the creator to be created. The creator is the one who creates. He is not created. And there's the difference between Allah, as we would call it, a God, with the other gods. Idols, for example, they have to be made by people. Idols are not just made by themselves. People make them. Person worships the sun as his idol, as his God. That sun also has to be made by somebody. Somebody worships a tree. That tree also had to be made. But only Allah is that being that did not have to be made. He is there. And so it just shows that it's the question of Allah having somebody making Allah is illogical. It just doesn't fit in anywhere. Because Allah is the only creator. And creator is called that who creates and who was not created. That is Allah. That is the only being Allah who creates and was not created by anyone. And take all the knowledgeable people of the world, presently, in the past, all along, in all the different fields, nobody can point that there was a creator of Allah. If there was, then we'd say that this was the creator of Allah. But nobody, no way it comes that there is a creator of Allah. And Allah himself has categorically stated, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He doesn't give birth, and he was not given birth to anyone. Nobody gave birth to him. He was there. So he is that absolute being that has been since ever, and there is no beginning to his beginning. And he is that being who lives forever, and there is no end to his end. He is forever. So that is Allah. So that is that being. So we have to have that full yaqeen on the zaat of Allah Ta'ala. Another is on the existence of Allah Ta'ala. One is that has anyone created Allah? And another thing, that the existence of Allah. That also, when we are not in the right mood, in the right frame of mind, in the right environment, then doubts come in us also. When we go to schools and we learn only about material things, and now in schools more work, where they are teaching Darwin's theory of evolution, etc., the Big Bang theory, etc., all things which are totally against Iman. So these bring doubts in a person's mind. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is that being that in Farsi, Persian, Khuda, Allah's name is Khuda. That is Al-Khud, who was just there. He was not made. Nobody made him. Nobody gave birth to him. He was there. That's the end. You have anything else, you ask from where did this come? From there. Where did that come? Where did this person come from? From there. But Allah was there since ever. And Allah will remain forever also. And the other is the existence of Allah. The existence of Allah is also very clear. That how did everything come in existence in the world? It only came by the existence of Allah. If Allah was not existing, the things of this world will not come into existence. Like the famous thing of that Bedouin, a person living in the deserts, in the far remote places of the desert. He sees on the ground the footprints of a camel. And when he sees that, he deduces from that a camel went this way. He sees the dung of the camel. And then he deduces a camel went from here. And from the dung, he can say how many hours, how many days ago the camel went past. Whether it's still wet, the dung, whether it's gone dry, etc. And from his experience, he can say 1 week, he can say 1 day, 1 hour, he can say how when the camel went past there. So when a Bedouin, seeing the footprints of a camel, and he sees the dung of a camel, and he can deduce a camel went there, when there's so much enlightened people, and so much educated and learned people, they see the whole creation, how is it they can't deduce there is a creator of it? And that the whole system of the world is running in perfect harmony. How can't a person deduce the oneness of Allah? There is no creator of Allah, the existence of Allah, and the Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. Because if there were two Allahs, the one will want it to rain, the other one will want it to be sunshine. The one will want this condition, the one will want that. The one will want it to be day now, and the other one will want it to be night now. And there will be fights there, and they are both gods, and both have got power. Then there will be a big fight, that now must it be night or must it be day. So when the system is running for how many years, the sun is rising perfectly on its stand every day, setting perfectly on its stand. The moon is doing its, in its orbit, it's moving perfectly all the time. It shows that there is one Allah. So we must have that conviction of the existence of Allah, that Allah was there since ever, Allah is forever. And that Allah Ta'ala is one. He has got no partner whatsoever. So, lam yalid wa lam yulad. And the other part, he puts the final seal on the proof that Allah Ta'ala is in existence. And his qudrat is above everything. And he is one. And he was never created. He was there since ever. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. There is nothing that is like Allah Ta'ala. So everything else we were brought about by our parents. That's how we came into existence. We assemble a motor car gets assembled. Everything what we do. But Allah Ta'ala is that being that there is nothing like Him. He's got no second, no sample. He's got nothing like Him. So when everything else is created, Allah is completely different. There is nothing that He is not created. So the Surah Ikhlas gives the answer to all of this. And though we read Surah Ikhlas very commonly in our namaz, but we don't pay any attention to it whatsoever. And if we do, it is normally just the words of it. And this is that we should associate with people where we come to learn. And then if we read Surah Ikhlas like that, where it is one third of the Quran. Three times you read it, you get the sawab of reading the whole Quran Sharif. But if you read it with this meaning, then your iman will be enhanced so much. But we read it whole life. But Surah Ikhlas is just like a surah that we take for granted. The whole Quran Sharif we just take for granted. Allahu Akbar. The Quran Sharif is that kitab, for example, where Allah Ta'ala has referred to the measurement of time and the division of time into days and months. Months, Allah Ta'ala said, Ithna ashara shahr. Clearly Allah announced that the months will have, the year will have 12 months. And two types of years are calculated, both from Allah Ta'ala. The year according to the rotation of the sun, the solar year, that also has got 12 months. And then the lunar year, that also has got 12 months. And Allah decreed there will be 12 months. And in the whole Quran, 12 times Allah has taken the word shahr. From the 30 suparas, 12 times. So where Allah said, Ithna ashara shahr, 12 months. And that was fi kitabillah. And that was yawma khalaqa samawati wal ard. Then in the whole Quran, there are also 12 months. As far as Yom Day is concerned, look at the beauty and the perfection of the Quran Sharif. The word Yom has been used 360 times in the Quran Sharif. The solar year has got 365 days, 365 and a quarter. And the lunar year has got 355 years. The average of the two, 360. Exactly the number of the days in the year, Allah Ta'ala has used the word Yom in the Quran Sharif 365 times. And how Allah Ta'ala is perfectly considered both the lunar year and the solar year. For the Ashabi Kahf, when they slept in their graves, وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ ثَلَاثَ مِئَةَ سِنِينَ 300 years they lived. In there? وَزْدَادُوا تِسْعَ And add another 9, Allah says. So, if we, the solar year, 300. And every 100 years is 3 years you add for the lunar year. So, 300, another 3, 6, and another 3, 9 years. So, how perfectly the calculation, the mathematical calculations of the Quran Sharif are so astounding. A person sort of will say the word, he can't believe it. That is, it's so astounding, the mathematical calculation of the Quran Sharif. So anyway, all this Allah Ta'ala has given us. So this Qudrat of Allah, it is only by that this Mi'raj could take place. Otherwise, it was impossible for Mi'raj according to our working out, our strategy, our planning, anything of ours, or the whole of mankind together, it is impossible. And this Mi'raj started from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's home, then he was taken to Umme Hani, his foster mother and the sister of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then he was there, given his heart was taken out. The first heart operation that was done there. The heart was taken out of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, washed in Zamzam water. And this also indoors 1400 years ago. An operation like that of the heart being removed. Now we know it is, we see the medical science doing it. But at that time, and after that, after making namaz at Haram Sharif, then to Baitul Muqaddas, a journey which if you don't waste time, you are just moving, like sometimes a person in a journey, he's in a hurry, urgent matter, and he doesn't take it easy at all. He's just on the move. The minimum time that was required was 1 month to reach Baitul Muqaddas. And then there, making imamat of all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam. That also is only the Qudrat of Allah. Where and where they are buried in the world. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in the fourth heaven. But wherever they were, Allah gathered their arwah. And there in Baitul Muqaddas, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made the imamat. When all the Anbiya gathered, what an occasion it must be. Yeah, if some great buzurgs, different buzurgs of different places, they are coming together, we say, at that place I must be there. All these great buzurgs are there, the great ulama are there. This were all the Anbiya, alayhimus salatu wasalam. What an occasion it was. And when it was time for imamat, then who must go front now? Then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam made an indication to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you have to make the imamat. And to be imam of all the Anbiya, imamul Anbiya, what a position. It also shows the humility of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He didn't just step on the musalla. And that is also an important thing. A person must never have that audacity that he wants to be in front always. Yeah, when you are told, then it's a different thing. And then too, you should still not feel that I'm fit for it, that I deserve it. And if they don't give you the imamat and they give it to somebody else, there shouldn't be any feeling of pain, difficulty, in fact happiness. That people, Allah saved the people from my nahusa. But we are different. If my bayan is not given to me, if imamat is not given to me, I'm not shown VIP treatment, I feel offended for that. That is a great deficiency and lack in our Islam. And that the tawadu, the height of akhlaq is tawadu. That a person has humility. And not the word humility and not the outward form of humility. But naturally it is in a person. That when a person, somebody shows some favor to you, anything, you actually really get surprised. Me? I don't deserve this. Where me? And on the other hand, if we are not given that, and we have objection, and that why I wasn't asked, why I wasn't called, etc. That's a clear sign that there is no tawadu in us, no matter how much we make a show of tawadu. So anyway, so yeah, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, he stood there. And when Jibreel alayhi salam put him on the musalla, then he made the imamah. So what do you think? And then from there, the ascension, and on the buraq, the transport which Allah Ta'ala arranged, and the speed of it, what speed, and what is lightning in front of it? Lightning is nothing in front of it. And completely accident free. Usually with speed, famous thing, drive like speed like lightning and crush like thunder. With speed is associated accident. But this speed, no accident whatsoever. And there will be the buraqs in Jannat also. And the people will traverse, and the height of Jannat cannot be imagined. But the people of the lower stages will travel up to the higher stages. And with that buraq, they will go and travel. And where and what speed? The one step of the buraq is more further than our eyesight. Yeah, we can see the sun from here, which is about 150,000 kilometers. The one footstep of the buraq is even further than that. So what speed it will be. And together with that, with all the safety also. The safety will not be compromised in any way whatsoever. All the enjoyments of Jannah, where there will be great water sports also. There will be great other events in Jannah also. And no safety will be compromised. Nobody, there will be no tragedy in Jannah whatsoever. Forever and ever, it will be that enjoyment. So that is what we should learn from this Mi'raj, all the reality of that life. So anyway, after then, moving then the seven heavens, and then all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were in their places, in the heaven, though their bodies were buried where they were, but in the heaven where their position is, they were there in their positions also. Where Ibrahim, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam met Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, all of them. And then finally, right till Baytul Ma'mur, and where the farishtas make a tawaf. And from there, Lawh-e Mahfuz, where the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala, Arsh of Allah is above there. And from there, when nobody went before that, past that point. And the Arsh of Allah is above that. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam also said, O Allah's Nabi, even if me, the greatest of the Malaika, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, if he has to spread his original wings, one wing will cover the one side of the world, and the other wing the other side of the world. Such a great farishta. He said, if I have to go one hair's breadth, one hair of ours, can we measure it? It's not 1 millimeter, it's not a tenth of a millimeter. Well, how much is one, the breadth of one hair? If I have to go so much beyond this point, I will be brought down to ashes. And nobody can go beyond this. Musa alayhi salam, undoubtedly Kaleemullah. He spoke to Allah. What a great honor. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam spoke to Allah Ta'ala directly. Right in front, directly with Allah Ta'ala. Where is the position of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam? And then the return from all that journey. And then from there back to Baytul Muqaddas. From there, a month journey in this worldly life back to Kaaba Sharif, and then to Makkah Sharif, and all that in a part of the night in which the bed did not even yet get cold stuff. Like a person, if he gets up and he goes just to toilet, when he comes back to bed, his bed is still warm. But he gets up and he makes tahajjud. 1 hour, half an hour he spent. Now when he comes to bed, bed is cold. But this, the bed, so little time. This can be nothing but the miracle of Allah Ta'ala. And this also how beautifully Abu Jahl, when he heard of it, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam spoke about it last night, Allah took me for Mi'raj. And all this had happened. And there are so many instances and so many proofs They asked for the proof of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam that he went. And they started questioning him that how many steps there were at Baitul Muqaddas. Now, a person won't remember that if we went, like now we come, usually the students are asked that, well, in the first floor of the madrasa, the second floor, when you climb up the stairs, how many stairs are there? How long are you in the madrasa? 5 years. How many times a day you climb the stairs up and down, but still you don't remember? Just one time you went, who will remember? Here we are sitting, we come every week. If we have to ask how many fans there are in the masjid, we'll have to look up from the side of our eyes and try and see how many fans or how many lights there are. We don't know. We are very ill observant. Our observant, and this is also a thing which has must be the quality of a person to be observant. Anyway, Nabi Ali Salah, Allah put the whole Baitul Muqaddas in front of him. And he explained so many stairs, so many windows, everything in detail, perfectly. Anyway, this was the thing which was like an impossible thing. So Abu Jahl told Nabi, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he said this is the ideal occasion that Hazrat Abu Bakr, lakir ke fakir, that is, he just said, whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he accepts it wholeheartedly. Now this is an occasion that we can show him that it's like it's a na'uzubillah, something which a madman is saying. A person who's got no logic, no idea, he hasn't got any, he's not in touch with reality at all. How can such a journey be taken place in 1 month and come back in a month and then right till the arsh of Allah and meeting with Allah all in a small portion of the night? So, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, of course it's impossible, this can never happen. It's a month's journey to Baitul Muqaddas, a month's journey back from there. It can never happen. Then they say, do you know what? He said, what? That your friend, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, is he saying, he's got the idea that now he will change his mind. That he knew, he said just now, that it's impossible, it can't happen. And this is now, the iron is hot, and it's time to strike and tell him. And he said, yes, he is the one who's saying that. He said, if he's saying it, it's 100% true. So that iman we must develop also. That karamatul awliya haqqun. The karamats of the awliya are also haqq. And that is not a thing which happens according to the norm. Karamat is meant that we Allah intervention, direct intervention, and Allah's display of His great qudrat takes place. That so one great lesson we should learn is the lesson of our iman in yaqeen from Mi'raj. That now is the month of the Mi'raj of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should build our yaqeen that Allah's qudrat is above everything. That for Allah it is just a matter of saying kun. And that also that we can understand. But Allah isn't even dependent for that time to say kun. Where Allah just makes irada of a thing and it comes in existence. With all its non-existent things, with all the raw materials which were not in existence, they come into existence and they all fall 100% into place perfectly. That is the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. No big bang theory is the qudrat and the will of Allah Ta'ala. They lead us to stupid materialistic things that the big bang was made. Even if there was the big bang, from where did all the material come to make the big bang? Who brought all that material? And if there was a big fire that took place, who lit the fire? Where did all that happen? All was won by the qudrat and the command of Allah. So we must build our iman accordingly. And then the sum total of Mi'raj is the 5 times namaz. And this was given as a gift. Like if you go and visit somewhere, it's a common thing. Even with us, we go and visit one another. We give gifts to one another. Everyone else, whether it is ambassadors of countries, whether it is government people, they give gifts. So there, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam gave the gift to Allah Ta'ala. As he approached, At-Tahiyyatu Lillah. That all praise, verbal praise, is only for Allah Ta'ala, whatever kind. التحيات لله والصلوات and all bodily praise like going in ruku, humbling, going in sajda, all monetary praise what tayyibat belongs only to Allah Ta'ala. All types of ibadat, all types of praise belongs to none but Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala honored Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan Nabi. Because at-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wa-tayyibat. And then as-salamu alayka. Allah is saying salam on you, my Nabi. Can we imagine that personal meeting now is taking place? Not like here, which is in ghayb in our namaz when we read at-tahiyyat. But personally, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going up, meeting Allah and praising Allah Ta'ala in the greatest of words, the most eloquent, the most perfect word. And Allah replying, As-salamu alayka, ayyuhan Nabi wa rahmatullah. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's quality, and that is the sign of a person's greatness. Whenever he can, he's praying, he says, it's not me. It's the people who work with me. They do everything. Only my name is put in front. It's teamwork. I didn't do it myself. The whole team did all this. It's only my name, but all the workers, they are doing. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. And here also, what a great, that a person who makes the Hajjud Namaz 2 rakat in a sitting position, with the shortest rakat after Isha Namaz, is also tahajjud. And one of the great virtues of it is recounted now amongst ibadillahi salihin. And he's included in this dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan Nabi. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. The whole, all the malaika, the world, all jumge. They all were gone in a trance. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We believe in the oneness of Allah. We believe in the existence of Allah. We believe in the qudrat of Allah. We believe in Allah, who is the one who was since ever and who is forever, and He is the one and the absolute. So at-tahiyyat, if we read it like that, how long time will it take us? But our at-tahiyyat, we didn't know when we start and when we end also. And we don't pay any attention to it. All this mi'raj must become alive in us when we read our at-tahiyyat and appreciate this great gift of namaz. Anyway, it was such a thing that was to be appreciated so much that Allah ordained it 50 times a day. And if we have to see, for one namaz normally, if you just like rush also, if you make wuzu, toilet, wuzu, and you make your sunnat namaz, one namaz takes about half an hour. And if you have to walk 5 minutes to the masjid, 5 minutes back home or by car, 5, 8 minutes or whatever, more than half an hour for one namaz. So 50 namaz should have taken us 25 hours. In other words, the whole day should only be in namaz. But anyone who knows what namaz is, when a lady of the Bani Israel came to know the virtues of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the short lifespan for the 60, 70 years, and they had lives of 700, 800 years, she said, if I was born in that ummah, I should spend my whole life in one sajda. Not in one rakat of namaz, not in a unit of 2 rakat. I should spend my whole life in one sajda. But today we just rush through. We don't appreciate what Allah has given us. And Allah, by in His mercy and His kindness, and in the honor and in the blessedness, barakat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala has given us this great gift of namaz. It is our duty. But moreover, we should make, whenever we start namaz, make shukr to Allah. Ya Allah, you've made namazes faraz on me. I appreciate it. Oh Allah, let me perform it properly. So this namaz, we should try and work on in this month and make namaz what is called namaz and make our connection. As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. It is every mu'min, every namaz is a mi'raj of a mu'min. We should be doing mi'raj when we are making our namaz. Meeting with Allah Ta'ala. Then we will know who Allah is. What is the enjoyment of being in connection with Allah. What namaz is. We will enjoy the lowest position in namaz, sajda. The most we will enjoy. أَقْرَبْ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ أَغْمِ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ السَّاجِدِ. The most closest a person is to Allah is when he's in sajda. But we can't even keep our heads down in sajda. We can't even read our tasbihat properly. We just mumble, fumble them through and just finish them off. At least minimum 3 times nicely to say and to think of the meaning. Subhana Rabbi al-Ala. What a great thing. May Allah give us tawfiq to appreciate this month, to appreciate namaz, to have built our iman in our yaqeen, and to see to our children's iman in yaqeen. And when we are sending them to schools and the wrong places, and they are being pumped with all the evil, it's more our duty to empty out all that evil from them, and to pump the right things in them, the correct iman, the correct yaqeen. Otherwise, we have a strong, strong case against us on the day of Qiyamah, laid to against us by our very own children. They will lay the charges against us in the court of Allah, that we send them to the wrong places. We let them learn the wrong iman and the wrong yaqeen and the wrong things we did. So Allah give us tawfiq to understand who we are, what our responsibility is, and how merciful, how kind our Allah is, and what a beautiful, wonderful Allah we have got. But we are so, we don't pay any attention. May Allah give us tawfiq. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah.